As has been my tradition this sermon series, I won't be reading the scripture passage printed in the bulletin, but a few other scripture passages instead. Our first passage comes from the Gospel of John from the 6th chapter. Listen now for God's word. When evening came, Jesus' disciples went down to the lake and got into a boat and started across the lake to Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The lake became rough because a strong wind was blowing. When they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the lake and coming near the boat, and they were terrified. But he said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." And our second passage comes from the Gospel of Luke from the 5th chapter. There we read the story that tells us once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw 2 boats there on the shore of the lake. The fishermen had got out of them and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little way from shore. Then Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our God remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. Most of the time, Jesus used a boat. Right? Most of the time, Jesus used a boat. That is a quote from Jim Henderson's book on evangelism. For the past 5 weeks, we've been exploring this topic. Since this fall, this is where I have been feeling God calling us to explore and to develop new and different practices of trying to help others develop their faith in God. I believe that in our world, there are people in the community around our church and around our homes and our lives who are craving something of what we have found here at church. They are craving a place where they can come and experience God's good, nourishing, and powerful presence. They are craving a place where they can encounter God and, hearing from God, be reminded that they are loved, that God is with them always, and that God will be with them and go with them, no matter where they go or what they might experience in their lives. God has been putting it on my heart that the people in the communities around us are craving what we have found here at church, a place to experience God mediated through the supportive and loving community that gathers here on Sunday mornings. A church family where folks are accepted as imperfect as we all are, accepted and welcomed and given a seat at God's table of abundant feast of love and grace. My friends, being involved at church is a wonderful and a blessed experience. Back when I first started college, I remember that I, for the first time in my life, had a choice of whether or not I would attend worship on Sunday mornings. My parents had been taught that until their kids turned 18, their responsibility was to nurture our relationships with God, and one way to meet that responsibility was to force us to go to church no matter what, right? No matter what. Well, when I graduated high school and moved into a college dorm, it was the first time in my life that there wasn't someone making me go to church. So for about 6 weeks, I stayed in my dorm on Sunday mornings. And rather than going to church, I would take a walk on the footpaths of the college. And for the first few weeks, it felt great. It was exciting. I felt like an adult. I felt like I was in control of my life. But after about 3 weeks, I could feel that something in my life was missing. I wasn't exactly sure what or why, but after about 6 weeks, I decided that I would venture back to a service of worship. I went to a church that I had never been to before. It was a church about which I had heard some good things. I walked through the unfamiliar doors into an unfamiliar space, and I found a seat where I sat by myself in a room full of strangers. It was a church near my college, so having the occasional college visitor wasn't such a rare thing for this congregation. When I walked in, I wasn't greeted so warmly that I felt singled out or put on display. Someone handed me a bulletin, smiled, said hello, and that was warm enough for me. I found a seat, and the service soon began. I don't remember a whole lot about the service. I don't remember what the preacher said. I don't remember the songs that we sang. The one experience that I do remember, the part of the service where God touched my heart, was the affirmation of faith. About three quarters of the way through the service, 100 or so strangers all stood up together at the same time with me. And I looked around at all of these strange people standing and straightening out their clothes after having been sitting through the sermon. Some were wearing shirts and ties, some were wearing blue jeans and sweatshirts, and I remember that the man's khakis in front of me needed to be ironed. We all stood together and we said the Apostles' Creed. We stood together and used those clunky, old, weird words that allow us to rehearse and affirm our faith in God and in Jesus and of the work of the Holy Spirit. We stood together, all those strangers and I, and we acknowledged this one thing that we all had in common: belief in God. I did not know anyone there, but as we said those words together, I had this powerful sense of our interconnectedness, our unity, our mutual love and responsibility towards one another because of God. This is what I was missing those 6 weeks of wandering around my college while I was staying away from worship. I was missing the love and the care of community. I was missing a place where I was loved and cared for just for being me. I was missing a place where people cared. Coming to worship on Sunday mornings and being involved in our ministries, these are blessed experiences. Church is good. God's power, God's nourishment, God's word, they are here in this place. God's family of love, support, and encouragement, they are here in this place. This is a good place. And since this fall, God has been putting it on my heart that we have a calling to explore and investigate and learn how we can help others to find their way to join us here, to this blessed experience, which for many of us is and has been such an important part of our lives. We have something good here. And as people of faith, we know that when we receive good blessings from God, it is because God wants us to share those blessings with others. Now, here we find ourselves at the end of this sermon series on evangelism. And my hope for the end of this sermon series was that I would be able to give us all some really great practical advice on how we're supposed to go out and start doing effective evangelism. My hope and my dream was that here at the end of this series, we would leave off with some really great practical advice. And to be honest, I do have a lot of practical advice bouncing around my head and rattling around my heart that I want to share. I have a lot of ideas about what our evangelism could look like and sound like and how we could do it and what kind of directions we should be moving in and exploring with you all. But what I have found in trying to prepare this sermon and wrap things up nicely this week is that, unsurprisingly, this brand new or somewhat new venture in ministry, this new calling towards a different style of sharing our faith, it isn't something that we can tackle and contain neatly within 5 sermons. The calling I believe God is giving us is a transformational calling. It's a calling that will require us to study and explore and adapt in many and various ways. It's a calling that will call us to experiment, to try things out, to fail, to falter, to keep going. This transformational calling isn't something that we can accomplish or wrap up in a 1,500 to 2,000 word sermon on Sunday 5 of a 5 sermon series. It isn't something we can contain in the season of Lent. So instead, I'm just going to leave you with this notable lesson about evangelism from Jim Henderson's book, which I've been reading this year. Henderson reminds us in his book that most of the time, Jesus used a boat. Most of the time, he used a boat. We have this one great story of Jesus walking on water. It was miraculous and amazing and beyond comprehension. But Henderson reminds us and points out that everywhere else in the Gospels, when we see Jesus encountering a body of water, when he needed to venture out on the lake or the Sea of Galilee, every other time in the Gospels, Jesus, who could walk on water, used a boat. When Jesus encountered water, he didn't need a miracle every time. Instead, he used what he had at hand. Henderson's point is that the work of evangelism doesn't have to be flashy and miraculous. Most of the time, almost all of the time, the work of evangelism can take place as we use the tools and the resources that by God's grace, God has already given us at hand. We don't need to walk on water to help nourish the faith of others. We can use what God has already given us. So we have more work to do. We have more avenues to explore. We have more exciting and scary ventures to begin together. And as we do that, of course, we will keep our hearts and our hands and our minds open as God will supply all that we need. Thanks be to God. Amen.